This morning, for a few moments of your time, since you are predispositioned to listen, I'm going to take advantage of that. I don't feel a lot of energy coming back, so I'm going to take advantage of the spirit of the posture that you've predispositioned with, and I want to speak to your hearts, and so we want you to listen. I want to invite you to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 5 through verse 10, and there's a message from God, and I want you, it is my prayer that you receive it. It is a message from God. It is from the Word of God, and I believe it is designed for all of us, for all of us. I stand at this pulpit bleeding from the message and study, and if I'm bleeding from this message and study, find it not to be a strange thing if you're wounded after this message, because the same wounds that can hurt you can heal you. Amen? Same wounds that often hurt heal. As a matter of fact, surgery is getting wounded to be healed. That's all surgery is. If someone's in a car wreck and they have to have what's called emergency surgery, do you know what they have to do oftentimes? They have to cut you. You got cut in the car wreck, but they got to cut you again, because a cut is how you got in trouble, and a cut is often how you get out of trouble. So that the healing and the hurting process both involve pain. But one pain is to your detriment, and the other pain is to your benefit. And so we want to look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And I want to talk about what fellowship is. Fellowship. That's all I'm going to talk about. I don't have a fancy title. What am I going to talk about? Fellowship. I'm going to talk about fellowship. The Bible says in verse number 5 through verse 10, it says these words out of the New American Standard Bible. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Everybody say, no darkness at all. Verse 5 is key. It's the key to all the next four verses. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want to talk about fellowship. This is a word that is often taken for granted. How many have raised you by a show of hands? How many of you have heard of the word fellowship? Very many. That's the majority of you have heard of this word fellowship. However, I have to admit that there was a lot of time between hearing the word fellowship and really coming to understand what the word fellowship meant. Fellowship has been redesignated to mean a whole lot of things that it was not originally designed to mean based upon the Bible. I mean, nowadays, fellowship often has to do with food. And sometimes if there's no food, there's no fellowship. I mean, for a long season, it really wasn't a fellowship until food was involved. And whenever there was something going on at the church, and maybe a gospel meeting or a revival, one of the announcements that people listened for was there's going to be fellowship after. Now, as a matter of fact, fellowship had become so misdirected that fellowship had become synonymous for food. If we said we're having a fellowship after in the Life Center, mostly everybody in here would begin salivating, because fellowship has become synonymous in a lot of our minds with food. But it's very possible to eat with people you're not connected with. We go to restaurants all the time and we eat, but we don't have fellowship. Fellowship is not shaking hands or saying hello. It's so much deeper than waving at somebody or seeing somebody or hugging necks. Fellowship is so much deeper than that. The word fellowship comes from a word. The original word in the New Testament is koinonia. Everybody say koinonia. Back in the Bible times, they spoke a universal language. The world basically in that time spoke a language under Rome, and that language was Greek. Now, there were pockets of people that had different languages that they spoke. There were people that spoke Aramaic, and there was people that spoke Hebrew, but the national language was Greek, and it was called Koine Greek. Koine to suggest common Greek. Kind of like you go to some countries and there are different dialects, but then there's a national language that everybody knows. Some places in Africa have different dialects, but most people in that African place, that region, may speak French, but there are other dialects. But French is what's called the Koine language. Well, Greek in the Bible times was called Koine Greek, which meant it was common. It was shared. It was the language where people forsook what other language they knew and what other language they were familiar with to meet somebody on a language that everybody understood. It was the meeting place of communication. If you spoke Aramaic and you spoke Hebrew, but everybody knew Greek, in order to bring the Aramaic speaking person together with the Hebrew speaking person together, they would meet in Greek so that they have some commonality, so that they can share a language. Well, koinonia, fellowship, means a commonality. It means a common union. It means to share, a shared life in this text, to a shared life. And that's so important, because when you don't have fellowship with a person, what might have been an invitation with somebody you have fellowship with is an invasion by somebody you don't. In other words, if somebody comes up to you and say, "What's your work week look like?" If you don't have fellowship with me, that question is offensive, because we don't share anything. And because we don't share anything, you're approaching me with something intimate is offensive and often put a wall against, because you're asking me something that invades. Because what you and I have is not by invitation, it's by invasion. So we have pockets of fellowship, and people you are in fellowship with, you talk differently than people that you are not in koinonia with. As a matter of fact, there are people that are in fellowship with you that can ask you certain questions that people that are not in fellowship with you don't have a right to ask. And if they ask, they are asking as an invader and not by invitation. Because fellowship denotes a shared life, an intertwined life. It means that I don't see you as an invasion. It means that I invite you in, you invite me in, and we begin to build on what we have in common. Now, John is writing during a time where there is a lot of strange doctrine going on, but he's writing this letter to encourage the church and to remind the church and to emphasize to the church the fellowship that they should share. But what you need to understand first is that fellowship, according to the word of God, is primarily with God. Among the people of God, fellowship is first with God. It's first with, everybody say, fellowship is first with God. Why is this important? Because my fellowship with God will regulate my fellowship with you. In order for the fellowship we have with one another to stay where it needs to be, guess what has to be where it needs to be? My fellowship with God. Otherwise, we lose that thing that makes us his church, and we just become a social group. In a social group, there are no boundaries. You can say whatever to whoever, however, because the social group might have koinonia, but their koinonia is not regulated by a greater koinonia. The first and foremost fellowship that the people of God must have is fellowship with God. God says that if you have fellowship with me, then you can have fellowship with one another. It is dangerous to have a one another fellowship without having a fellowship with God. Because we're too sensitive, we're too picky, we're too walking on edge. Some of us are too so sensitive that you can say anything any kind of way, and there will be no rules. But if you have fellowship with God first, he regulates how I treat you, he regulates how you treat me, and we stand on what we have in common in spite of our differences. Our differences might be you like sports, I don't. Our differences might be you like certain colors, I don't. Our differences might be you like to go play certain places, I don't. You find some things funny, I don't. You enjoy certain things, I don't. But fellowship with God brings us to a place where we can temporarily forsake the particularities that we have and stand on the common ground of our love and respect and obedience and submission for God, and we deal with each other based on our fellowship with God. Are you understanding this? But here's the problem. The problem is, I'm not sure if many people today know what fellowship with God looks like. Let me tell you what it's not. Fellowship with God is not coming to church. Since you're in listen mode, keep listening. Fellowship with God is not coming to church. Fellowship with God is not being able to quote scripture. Fellowship with God is not being able to dress up, come to church, shake hands, and say some anecdotal spiritual things from time to time. Fellowship with God is not being able to quote an encouraging scripture here and there. Not being able to say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Keep it moving. Be encouraged. If God be for you, who can be against you? That's not fellowship with God. Fellowship with God, watch this, is shared commonality. I need you to understand this. Shared commonality. It's a shared life. It means that in no part of your life is God an invader. In no part of your life is God an invader or an invasion. In other words, if your life was a house, every door when God comes in can be unlocked. Not only unlocked, but every door can be opened. Fellowship with God means that he's invited into any part of our life. And guess what? I don't make God meet me where he is. I make efforts to meet him where he is, and he meets me halfway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, if you look in this text, John does something very interesting as we move swiftly. He does something very interesting, and I'm going to move right along with these points. In verse number 5, he lays a premise. And what's the premise that John lays in verse number 5? He says this: we write this unto you so that we can let you know that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Why is John saying this? He wants to show the vastness of God. He wants to show how vast God is from evil, how vast he is from sin. He says, and he uses the allegory of light, and he uses the allegory of darkness. Now, let me tell you something about the element of darkness and light. Darkness and light. Light is not different from darkness by effort. It is not, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Light is not different from darkness by way of effort. It's different from darkness by way of nature. Light does not have to try to be different from darkness. The nature of light is naturally adversarial to the nature of darkness. Light doesn't have to say, well, let me shine so that the darkness can disappear. All light has to do for darkness to realize I can't stay here is show up. Now, I'm laying this premise. They are so vastly different that you can turn on the light, and the moment light shows up, darkness leaves. Light doesn't have to try. Now, John uses this analogy because God doesn't have to try to be light. He doesn't have to try to be different from evil. He doesn't have to try to be different from sin. God is by nature. He is by nature vastly the opposite of sin and darkness. Why are you saying this, John? Why are you laying this foundation? Give me 10 minutes and you'll understand all of this. He's laying this foundation because he's going to say some things about God, and he's going to say some things about declarations that don't have demonstrations. Declarations about God that don't have demonstrations, or that have demonstrations that contradict the declaration. So first he has to let them know that God is vastly different from evil, vastly different from sin. Just as different as light is from darkness. That they cannot coexist. There's no darkness in him at all. And coexistence is virtually impossible. Do you understand this? Now watch this. He says in the next verse, after laying that premise, he says in the next verse, if we say that we have fellowship. Now what you're going to do, if you look in your text, or you're marking your Bible, or you're highlighting on your iPad or your phone, I want you to look at all of the if we says, because what John is going to deal with now is he's going to deal with some declarations. And then he's going to show and highlight the inconsistency of the declarations and the demonstrations. As a matter of fact, in verse number 6, he says, if we say. In verse number 8, he says, if we say. In verse number 8, he says, if we say. Verse number 10, he says, if we say. Then in chapter 2, in verse number 4, he says, the one who says. What are you doing, John? I'm laying a premise that at the end of the day, what you say doesn't matter most. It doesn't matter what you say. What matters is what you demonstrate. It is not your declaration that makes you closer to God. It is your demonstration. It is not your declaration that makes you who you are. It is not saying who you are. It is not saying, I love the Lord. It isn't even singing, I love the Lord. It cannot be a declaration only. There has to be a demonstration, because God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. And so you have to make sure it's legitimate. It isn't that God says he's light. He is light. He's self-encompassing. So not only is God light, but he's in the light, and the light is in him. And so what John now goes into is he goes into all of these declarations. Look at the first declaration. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him. What is that? A shared life. Fellowship with God. A shared life. That means God is intricately involved in my life. He is a deciding factor to everything that happens in my life. No, 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 no. He isn't someone I visit on Sundays. He's intertwined into my life. We have commonality. We have common union. We call it communion, but that's common union. We share. It is a reciprocal, mutual sharing. It is a intertwined. It means that he has the key. It means that he has the code. It means that he has access, and I have access to him. I just don't pray. God and I talk. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I believe that God has given us all a word, because with religion becoming more formal than practical today, there's some of us who have fallen for the okey-doke that you can substitute religion with fellowship. And you cannot coming to church saying two prayers, three songs, and getting out and doing communion. That does not denote fellowship with God. And watch this, saying a prayer does not denote fellowship with God. It is not a prayer, it's a conversation. I'm not asking you, do you pray? I'm asking, do you and God converse? That's what denotes fellowship. Meaning, God, I'm about to do this. What do you think about it, Lord? And then you listen for what he has to say. So many sermons are wasted because people are listening for a specific message instead of having a conversation. Amen. You've been praying this week. Don't waste the word. Because if you have fellowship with God, he just doesn't want to listen to you. He wants to talk to you. Because fellowship demands it. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him, koinonia, and yet walk in darkness. What does he say? He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. Well, what are you saying, John? He lays the premise in verse number 5. That is the thesis statement. The thesis statement is God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. And based on verse number 5, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie. Why, John? Because as I said, God is light, and in him is no what? Darkness at all. We lie. Now watch this. Because a lot of times we put ourselves in the place of God. What are you talking about? The declaration is not to everybody else. The declaration is to God and to ourselves. By the time everybody else hears it, we've already lied to ourselves and to God already. We're third string. In other words, don't think, well, look, he's saying one thing and doing another. By the time you find out about it, he's already lied to himself and to God. We so don't matter primarily that by the time we find out about it and we want to label people and marginalize people, that person has already lied to himself and to God, because again, the declaration is said to oneself. It's buying your own lie. It's believing your own lie. And the lie is based upon God's consistency. You cannot walk in darkness and say you have fellowship with God. I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if you're walking in the light, you don't sin. Because some of us like to be pompous. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. Like, you know, I don't sin. No. You still sin. But what it means is when you walk in the light, your sin doesn't cause you to run from God. Some of y'all not with me, but let me pull you in a little closer. A child can get dirty and fall in the presence of his parent. And fall and get dirty. But while he is with his parent, the light of the parent can tend to the scar, can tend to the wound, can tend to the dirt and wipe it off. Now, when you fall and get dirty and you're not in fellowship with the parent, you don't want the parent to know. Now, the same parent that you got dirty with, walking with, would tend to you. And the same parent would tend to you, but it's your being in darkness that now puts a variance between you and the parent. And now what you would readily be able to receive, which is cleansing, you run away from. Because when you get dirty in the dark tends to influence you to stay that way. No, you don't get it. No half a amen. No A, no men. I go to the movies. I'm a movie buff. I love going to the movies. I love it. I'll go to the movies. If I were able to, I'd go every day of the week. When a movie's coming out, I love it. Now watch this. You know, I don't like going to the movies and not have something to eat on. Amen. And when I'm not conveniently forgetting that I have some McDonald's with me when I go to the movies, I'll go to the concession stand and I'll get an Angus beef hot dog. Right there in Cedar Hill, I love it. You got Angus beef hot dog. I'll get a Diet Coke, which defeats the purpose. I'll get some popcorn. I'll go to that little, they have another little stand, and that's where you get your, all of your condiments. You know, you take that ketchup. Look, Nate is getting real excited up in here. You need this? Wipe your face. You love to eat, right? So watch this. I'll take that ketchup and just put that ketchup all on that hot dog. And then I'll take a pack of relish and just sprinkle it all on and some mustard. I like loading it up because I'm about to go. Now watch this. Now all of that happens in the light. Then I take all of this saturated hot dog and drink and popcorn into a dark room to watch the movie. Now, while I'm in there eating, there are things happening that I don't even know about. There are things happening that I am even the cause of. I'm eating into the hot dog, but because I'm in the dark, I don't see that half of the mustard is no longer on the hot dog. It's on me. I know I gotta really explain this because some of you really act like you don't know a thing about what I'm talking about. The relish might be on me, but as long as I'm in the dark, nothing changes. As long as I'm in the dark, I assume that how I looked before I got into the dark is how I look now, because the dark is designed to keep you where you are. There's nothing about the dark that will expose to you that you're dirty. But when the movie ends and the credits start scrolling and I go out, I see that I got dirty in the dark. The light tells me that you are not what you need to be. At that point, I have a choice to make. I can ignore what the light is telling me, or I can benefit from the light and go and get cleansing for the dirt I got on me in the dark. A lot of us don't get dirty in the light. We get dirty in the dark. But if you are not in fellowship with God, when He shines the light on you, you don't run to cleansing. You run away from cleansing because it's more comfortable to you not to even deal with the dirt you acquired in the dark. And John is saying, if you say that you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, you lie. But look what he says in the next verse. Y'all all right in here? We almost done. In the next verse, he says these words. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now watch this. He didn't say if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we don't sin. He says we have fellowship. We have common union. Meaning, there's a difference between being in sin in the dark and falling to sin in the light. Yeah. Somebody said, well, I don't see that. It seems to me that if we walk in the light, we shouldn't sin. No, look at the last part of that verse. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. There would be no need for the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins if walking in the light means we don't sin. Hello? That was the issue. Walking in the light. So what does that mean? It means that when you are open and you're in a shared union with God, you do not allow what the Word of God exposes in your life to drive you away from God, but to drive you closer to God. Because when you're walking with God and you have common union with God and you have a shared life with God, you begin to eventually start taking on his nature. So that by nature, you don't like the dirt that got on you in the dark. By nature, you are unattracted to certain things. That's how you know when you're growing in your fellowship with God. Because what happens is your taste begins to change. What you're okay with begins to change. Things you used to do and not feel any way about, you feel funny about now. That funny feeling is the light exposing you. And because you're taking on and sharing in the divine nature of God, there's something about sin that doesn't vibe with you. Something that makes you uneasy. The way allergies work, you know what, how allergies work. Allergies are an environmental problem. You know, it's environmental. It means something in the environment triggers off something in you and makes you uncomfortable and long to be out of that environment. Matter of fact, you start coughing and wheezing and sneezing and eyes running, and some of you look real goofy when you have an allergy attack. But that means something out here is messing with something in here. When you walk in the light, then whatever's going on out here will start messing with something in here. And you're in the danger zone if stuff out here doesn't mess and trigger off something in here. Because when God is in you, he illuminates. He is light. And there is no darkness. He's so vast from sin. Now, we got to move on. Now, watch this. Oh, my goodness. He says, if we say, there's another if we say, we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. He says, if we say we have no sin. He does not say have not sinned here. That's in verse 10. He says, if we say we have no sin, that means we have a nature that has sin in it. Are you hearing me? Everybody say sin nature.
Sin nature.
You ever wonder why it's so much easier to do the wrong thing? Right? Because there's a sin nature. There's a sin nature. There's a gravitation. There's still something there, right? There's something there. And that nature has to be suffocated and asphyxiated by the nature of God. But if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself. Now watch this. How are people led to do that? People are led to do that by comparing sins, watch this, sin inside to sin committed. I need you to hear this. Any sin that somebody sins or commits or performs, it doesn't make you better.
That's right.
That sin, now watch this, the sin nature is in you too.
Yes, sir.
But what we like to do sometimes is we compare what people do to what's in us. And because we didn't do it, we will say because they did it, we don't have, no, that's not my problem. Let me tell you something. A person that decides to commit to actually sin and a person that decides to harbor sin, you both have the same problem.
Amen.
One of you is bleeding out and the other's bleeding internally. And both could kill you. Are you understanding this? Because the moment you start saying you have no sin or you don't commit sin is the moment you begin to eradicate the necessity for God. You don't need cleansing if you don't have sin. You don't need cleansing if you don't have a sin nature. You do not need cleansing if you do not commit sin. There's the nature is there. And if you convince yourself that you don't have that sin nature, in a moment of feeling invincible in your life, when you're comparing yourself to all things that other people are actually doing, you are lying to, you are deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. We all have that sin in us. And it is that sin that will mess with your fellowship, not only with God, but one another. People don't want to hear about sin today because people love darkness, because darkness allows you to be comfortable. Darkness covers and darkness comforts and darkness cradles and darkness. Darkness has a way of keeping you unscathed, because darkness puts everybody at a place and puts everybody in the same place. And this is why the child of God who walks among people who are walking in darkness suddenly becomes ostracized, because your presence makes me feel bad about my behavior. Your presence makes me uneasy about how I am. Whenever you're walking in the light, you can walk in the light and walk among people who are walking in darkness, and it'll either drive them away or draw them to the light. But you cannot coexist comfortably. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that you should not be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But what is he talking about? He's not talking about somebody that believe in Jesus but not quite the way you do. No, he's talking about the vastness. He was talking to the church in Corinth, and they were worshiping other gods. Then he says, for what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? Does light have with darkness? It is so vastly different that by nature, there is no comfortable coexistence. It's not a comfortable coexistence, and fellowship cannot be forced. The moment it's forced, it is not fellowship. It is a manufactured picture of fellowship. It is a picture. It is a photograph of fellowship. It is not real. It looks real, but it is not real. I don't know anybody in here that ever got full from a picture of a hamburger. It has no substance. Fellowship with God says, God, I invite you in my imperfection. I don't get it right. I'm not always right, but I invite you. I dare walk with you. And if I get dirty, Lord, I know that you are faithful. Now, this is the beautiful part. Look at verse number 10, and then we're done. Verse number 9, we're done. We don't have time to finish all of it, but I take it that you're listening, and you're hearing what God is saying. You're hearing what God is saying, because the reality is some of us are confusing relationship with fellowship, and that's not the same. Being related is not the same as having fellowship. Amen?
Amen?
Anybody in here have any siblings that they don't ever deal with? Okay, that was a real question. Either say amen. Don't look there like I don't know what a sibling is. Now, who am I talking to in here? Does anybody have any family members that you don't deal with? I found out I'm related to some, I'm just about done. We're going to look at verse number 9, but I'm just about done. But I found out I'm related to some celebrities. And I hate finding out I'm related to celebrities after they're celebrities. Because when they become celebrities, everybody's related to them. Amen. You just come across a lot of money and everybody know about it. You're going to get new kinfolk too. But I'm related to a lot of celebrities. I'm not going to get all into it. Some of you know, some of you don't know. But even though there's traces of similar DNA and we are related, we don't have fellowship. Now, this is going to grip you. You can be a child of God and not be in fellowship with God. And people sometimes cloak the lack of fellowship and cover it with the darkness of, no, I'm a child of God. Yeah, you might be a child of God. You might be God's son and God's daughter, but just being related to God does not constitute fellowship with God. That's what the whole parable of the prodigal son was about. The father had two sons. One son took what his father gave him and left. Fellowship was broken. Relationship was there. Being related was there, but fellowship was broken. And if you think for one moment that is not applicable, you can live under the same roof with someone, be related, but not have fellowship. Amen. Not be intertwined. And so you can be in the same neighborhood, yet be countries apart. Because you don't have fellowship. So you can come to the church house and not have fellowship with God. You can sing songs of God and not have fellowship with God. If God does not have a shared life with you, then you do not have koinonia with God. And God is not calling you to church. He's calling you to fellowship. And sin gets in the way. But look what verse 9 says as we close. Verse 9 says what?
If we confess our sins.
Now watch this. John says, if we confess. Now notice that he's been saying, if we say we have not sinned. If we say we have no sin. If we say we do not sin. If we say. He's been saying that a whole lot, right? Because now what he's doing is now he's aligning what we say about us to and he's moving to agreeing with what God says about us. The word confess is what's called a cognate. It's like a compound word in the original language. It is two words put together. It's two words, right? Logos or logia or logeo, depending on your school of thought, your school of pronunciation. Logos means to speak, right? Homo, contrary to what the world says it means now. Homo simply means the same. That's why homo is, when you want to indicate that there are two people of the same sex together, they're called homosexual because homo means the same, same sex. The word confess is the word homo legeo. It means to say, legeo, the same. It means whatever God says about this, I say about it. John says, if we say the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Confess does not mean to say sorry. Because sorry won't even be legitimate if you don't say it like God said and see it like God sees it. Has anyone ever given you an apology, but there was really no connection? It was like, oh, I don't agree with you, and I still think what I did was okay, but sorry. Yeah. How many of you say that means something? That means nothing at all, because we did not come to commonality. And so the sorry was an appeasement. And a lot of what we call a repentance, a lot of times is an appeasement, because until you can say it like God says it, you won't see it like God sees it, and any repentance is manufactured and not genuine. If we say the same as God says, forget saying we have fellowship. Don't expedite it. Don't say we have fellowship. Say what God says. He says God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Isn't it beautiful to know that God will never leave us the way we are if we confess? And I think the young people are going to children's worship or going to eat hamburgers or something like that. Next time, be quieter, young people. You're disrupting the sermon. Now, look, isn't it beautiful to know? Come back here, people. Come back here. Isn't it beautiful to know that God won't leave you there? It's hell to be out of fellowship with God. That's hell. Are you kidding me? For you and the only person that can do anything about the trouble you're in and the dirt you've gotten and acquired in the dark, for you and him not to be and have a shared life, that is hell. And you know what hell is? Hell Eternal hell is eternal eternity out of fellowship with God. You need God. I need God. But the only way to have that fellowship is to walk in the light, which means walking in the light sometimes is embarrassing, it's shameful. But it's not the kind of shame that kills you. It's the kind of shame and guilt that drives you closer to God. And that's fellowship with God, to have a shared life. It means, God, I acknowledge that you see me. Even in my sinfulness, I'm not going to run from the garden. In my sinfulness, I'm not going to try to cover myself. Because even in my sinfulness, I'll call it what you call it. And instead of covering myself with fig leaves, I'll wait till you kill a lion or a bear and cover me with the skins. How many of you come to church? Oh, I can see that. How many of you come to church on a regular basis? I can see that. But the question you need to ask yourself is, are you in fellowship with God? Well, I fellowship with the saints. I come and shake hands. I say, what's up? How you doing? And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we enjoy fellowship with each other more than God. Some people come to church and they don't worship. They just talk. Just talk. Just hang out. As a matter of fact, that's one of the challenges we have moving forward. One of the challenges is getting people to come into worship. Because some people come here to talk. But you can't save me. When I'm in a crisis, I'm not going to pray to you. When I'm in a fix that nobody else can get me out of, I'm not. I love you. It's so good to see you. So good to see you, man. You look good, man. All right. Everything's going good, man. Yeah. Did you see the game? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yuck, yuck, yuck. But at the end of the day, when you're on your sick bed and nobody can help you and the doctors are saying we've done all we can, I'm not about to call you. My fellowship with you is not even a primary concern. What's a primary concern is how am I looking with God? What does what God and I have going on, what does that look like? And even if there's sin, God says, look, just confess it. Say the same thing. What is it not? It's not coming down here saying to the church, I've sinned, I've repented. I'm so glad we don't do that anymore. Amen. Open mic was dangerous in this place. Dangerous. Open microphone, are you kidding me? Boy, people were using that to take pot shot. Brothers and sisters, I've sinned. And I've sinned, but it wasn't just me that sinned. It was somebody else. Pray for me. No, some of y'all remember that. We had to stop open mic. That wasn't confession. That was tattling. That was getting somebody back. Brother says, I'm going through a hard time. I'm just going through trials and tribulations. I just can't, you know. And there's one person in my life that's just really, I need you to pray for me, because there's one person in my life and that's really getting on my nerves. I mean, you know, he's in leadership. He's supposed to know better. But, you know, and he happens to be the shortest leader, but that doesn't matter. What? Remember, we're third string. Confession happens in you and between you and God. You have to say the same thing. You got to come to grips that this is not right. And that's hard to do when the thing that's not right is so much fun. But don't call it fun. Call it what God calls it. Right? Don't call it this, that, and the other. Don't call it just chilling. Oh, we chilling. Call it fornication. You see the difference? One is darkness. Darkness leaves you unscathed, right? What you doing? Oh, we just chilling. We just chill together. We just casual. That leaves you undisrupted, undisturbed. But if you call it fornication, it's like, why you got to go there? You see the difference? Even how you feel it, right? Don't call it, oh, I'm just, you know what, I'm just having fun. No, call it gossip. As a matter of fact, calling it what it is more offensive. But it's that sting, that moment of discomfort that brings us to a place of decision. And God says, if you confess it, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Stand to your feet. God is calling you to fellowship with him. Will you come? Will you come to fellowship with God? If you are here and you are not saved, Jesus is calling you into a common union with himself. Will you come believing that he is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the Son of God, being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins? Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. If you're here and you need prayer, come right now. If you're here and you want to come to Jesus.